Hello, folks. Thank you for being here. I didn't want to get up early in the morning today anyway, and I'm supposed to be headed to Garibaldi in a little bit. So let's see what we can get done today that doesn't have anything to do with a quorum. And introductions? Oh, well, yeah. This is the mayor. I'm Lon Wohl. I've been chairman for, anyway, let's go around the room in case anybody doesn't know who they are, because I think we have a new member too. Go ahead, Jack.
Jack Reardon, citizen.
And vice chair.
And vice chair, long time member of the budget committee. Almost as long as you.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, maybe longer.
It's possible.
Me, I'm Helen Brown, and this is my second stint on the budget committee. And I started out going to the rate review committee meetings and got hooked on knowing what was going on for the city financially. And here I am.
Denise Bacon, I'm a city councilor. This is my ninth budget meeting year.
You did do the damage to yourself, didn't you? Bob Andrews, Newburgh mayor. 9 years?
Nine.
I was my bride asked me this morning, and I think I figured out this is 15 years that I've sat on the budget committee.
Brad Sitton, citizen. Brad Sitton, citizen. I've lived here in Newburgh since 2001, actually, and I work up in Tigard's, and I grew up in Oregon.
Miles Baker, citizen member, second year on the committee.
Mike Corey, I'm on the council, and I've been on the budget committee, this is my fifth year.
So Dan and I are the new staff people, so I'm Joe Cannon, so I'm the city manager. This is my first budget and my 30s, I think 5th year on budget committees with other cities. So, half of them have been in Oregon and half of them in other places. So
I'm Matt Zook, I'm the finance director, and this is my third budget cycle here.
I'm Caleb Lippard, and I'm the assistant finance director. And this is, I think, number eight or nine, something like that.
And I'm Dan Coyler. I started about 8 months ago. I'm in the finance department. I'm the senior accountant. This is my first budget committee meeting.
Don't hush.
Oh, Doug Rock, community development director. I'm just a couple years behind Joe in going to budget meetings.
Well, thank you very much. By the way, does anybody know exactly what number we need to have for a quorum? Because we have eight. Oh, so we have eight now. Well,
we're good.
Okay. Then I will call this meeting to order of the Newburgh City Budget Committee. Roll call noted. Since we just all introduced ourselves.
Noted.
Thank you. Okay, now we've taken care of introductions informally. We'll go to election of chair and vice chair. Open for nominations. You know, that there's something really appropriate about that.
I nominate Steve McKinney.
Okay, he's a counselor. Unofficially, we have generally had a citizen member chair the committee, but that's up to the committee. If that's what you want to do, then that's what we'll do. Okay, I have a nomination for Steve McKinney. Any other nominations? Yes. No other nominations.
Let's, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Let's nominate Beth Kutchman. Kutchman? Cushman. I'll get it right yet.
Yes, I tried to get her to do it last year, so this is her problem. Okay, so we have Beth, who is a citizen member, and we have Steve McKinney. Any other nominations? Okay.
Move the nominations closed.
Move to be closed. We will vote. Those in favor of Steve McKinney?
Aye, I guess.
Well, geez. Where's Matt Howard?
Stand up there.
Okay. Beth?
Aye.
Aye. I like that. Beth is our new chairman. But since she's not here, well, technically she... Oh, we got to get a vice chair. All right. Nominations for vice chair. Jack is our current vice chair. I don't see why he couldn't do it again, but...
Notice he waited till after
yes, go ahead.
His position was gone.
Right.
Well, it's an improvement. Okay, so I've been nominated for vice chair. Other nominations?
Mike, would you consider it?
Yeah.
All right, I'll nominate Mike.
Excellent. All right. Any other nominations?
4 miles.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Mike from here. Your glasses are as bad as mine.
4 miles?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A vote of confidence, isn't it?
The further you get away from his name, the more it looks like Miles.
I see.
Miles away, Gil. That's terrible.
All
with
right.
The nomination closed.
Okay, they are closed. Those in favor, gee, I can't remember now, of, well, Miles. Let's say Miles.
Aye.
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 Those in favor of me? Oh, I'm so dejected. Miles is our new vice chair.
Yeah, right.
And I believe procedurally it would be correct that because Beth is not here, you're going to have to chair the rest of the meeting.
A detail
please,
they also left out.
Please take your position and your little sign.
This is democracy in work.
Yes.
Come on over. Miles the mic.
Things can happen quickly in double jeopardy.
Me too.
All right, so someone's gonna have to coach me through this. What's the next step?
Well, we go
staff presentation
through number two on the staff presentation, and you would then ask the staff to make their presentation.
Perfect. All right, next up on the agenda is staff presentation. So I'm assuming that's you, Matt.
Yes, thank you. Thank you all for coming here this morning on a cold day. I was jokingly saying that we canceled the tour because of good weather, but hopefully we'll have a nice tour here shortly. But for those of you that were here last year and the year before, the orientation process in the business meeting, we wanted to move that to the first half of this day, so that if you had other obligations due to the Easter weekend or nice weather, that you could take off after this. I anticipate we'll run through this about 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and this is just a real brief overview of the budget process. There's certainly a lot more detail that goes into it for us. I was just over the last day reviewing the 115-page document that we use to make sure that we're compliant with Oregon budget law. And there's other kinds of documents that are out there that the Department of Revenue puts out for budget committee members to get an overview of budget law. And so anything that we don't cover here, there's other written resources that you're welcome to read. I do recall that those were sent. I sent you some links and some documents back in January. But then we can also ask some, you know, ask questions as well. So... You have to advance it for me. I can't.
Do you shoot that, or do you get it? Is the attachment there? No. He can do it.
Yeah. All right, so the role of the budget, the role and process of the budget committee, basically Oregon law requires that for every elected official, you have to have a matching appointed member, a citizen member. So we have a 7-member council here, and so that requires us to have an equal number of qualified city voters appointed by the governing body. And we have had there's an application process that you recall having gone through, and then the mayor goes through and selects those folks, and they're then appointed by the council. And we've already kind of discussed what a quorum means. A quorum is essentially half plus one of the full body. So in this case, it's 8. We have 8 today. So, yeah, that'll be important moving forward. I do anticipate.
So according to this, we did not elect a chair because there was only 7 people who voted.
No, we had, it was just 7.
It says 7 affirmative. So because Jack voted for Stephen, we only had 7 people vote for Beth. So we needed 8 people.
That's
so
a
you
no, the quorum.
Jack. No, if you read the bottom line, New Bird requires.
We'll figure it out later if we're legal or not.
Not merely the majority of members.
But you have an affirmative vote of a majority of the budget committee.
No,
you do. You have the first one was to establish that you have a quorum. So quorum has it. That says an affirmative vote of the majority.
Which,
if you would have had a 4-3, you have an affirmative vote of a majority.
No, that's actually we dealt with this last year. But, when you get down to passing the budget, I mean, that's obviously the most important thing that the budget committee does. I agree with what you're pointing out in that any action would take 8. I mean, I've had that discussion with the Department of Revenue because there's often times that you might have a situation like this, and we go 4-3. It's different in, like, the Citizens Rate Review Committee, where we've had, you know, less members and an affirmative vote with less than the full quorum. But so technically, if you want to go back, if the chair wants to go back and redo that vote, you can do that, or we can move on. I know, but yeah.
Okay. Well, you don't want Miles.
So do we?
No, we only have to vote on the Beth thing because he was unanimous.
Okay. So we go back to the other.
Yeah, really technical. But is his vote valid to take the vote? I think probably the point.
Conversely, if I may, Mr. Chair, to answer the question, I would move that we cast a unanimous ballot for the chair, Beth Cushman.
Second.
Okay. Now you find out if there's any further discussion and then call for the question.
Perfect. Any further discussion?
Call for the question.
Call for the question.
All in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We'll make sure that more folks are here next time so that we don't get into that situation. Okay, so what? What is a budget? A budget is a financial plan that includes estimates of expenditures and revenues for a single fiscal year. There is an option for a biennial two-year budget. The city uses the one-year budget. So key actions that are taken by the budget committee are to approve the budget. And the key word there is to approve. So the budget committee approves the budget. The council adopts the budget. So in addition to approving the budget, they also set and approve the amount or the tax rate of property taxes to be imposed. Our current our permanent rate is 4.3827 per thousand. So, in the event that the city was issuing or levying taxes for a GO bond, that's generally stated in the amount of the bond payment. So, it'd be like, for example, $425,000, and then the rate is calculated by the assessor. We currently don't have any other tax levy other than our permanent rate. So, at the end of the process, when the budget committee does their full motion, I'll provide a sample motion language for all of you to use to make sure that we dot those I's and cross those I's and dot those T's, so that you'll have the right language on doing that. So those are the two key portions. And then from there, it goes to the council after the budget committee is done. Where all of our meetings will be here. Hopefully everybody got the revised budget calendar. We had one meeting change, our second budget meeting. I'm not considering this our first budget meeting. Our first budget meeting will be on April 25th. And actually, here we go. Here's our budget calendar in a nutshell. First budget meeting is April 25th, which is about a week and a half from today. And then you see the second and third meetings. I added a fourth and fifth if necessary in the event that we needed to go a little longer. I wanted to get those on the calendar and get this room booked so that because of the tight timeline, the purpose of a budget calendar is to ensure that you go through all the steps of the process in a timely fashion, because you have a hard deadline of June 30th by which you have to have the budget adopted. So if we were to use all five meetings, we would end on May 16th, and we would have to turn around and then the staff would send to the newspaper a notice of public hearing regarding the budget that then goes to a council on Monday, June 5th. Now, Monday, June 5th is the second to the last budget meeting before the end of the fiscal year. We have to have the budget adopted by June 30th. We choose to use June 5th so that, A, if something happens, we have a backup meeting before the council so that we ensure that we get everything done by June 30th without having to call a special meeting. So council meeting, they hold a public hearing, and then, they adopt the budget. Did everybody get the revised calendar? Okay. So our first meeting is April 25th, and these are the highlights of what will happen at that meeting. The budget officer delivers the budget message. Our budget officer is
city manager. The budget officer is whom?
Our city manager.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that's stated in the city charter. We'll do an overview of the long-range financial plan model, which we've been working on. This has been a council priority that was set in January 16, within 18 to 24 months, come back with a revised or set of financial policies and a long-range financial plan. And so we've been working on the model. We've had a committee over the fall, a committee of 5 to 7 members that helped assist with the financial policy review and the model. And we've actually been using that model to help us prepare the proposed budget that you'll see. So we're going to give you an overview of that. The long-range financial planning is not a budget requirement, but it's best business practice, and a lot of cities do it. We are moving in that direction. So, and then from there, we'll get into the fund presentations. This is my, like I mentioned earlier, this is my third budget cycle here. Third city manager here, and we're going to, every budget tends to be a little bit different, but we're going to bring to you the same presentation that we did last year as far as layout and order of the funds and the amount of information that we bring to you. So we are going to begin the fund presentation, hit the general fund and the administrative support services fund in that first meeting. Those are the ones that have the majority of the department operations. So second meeting on May 3rd, that's a Wednesday, we will have a public hearing for state shared revenues. And state shared revenues is the city's ability to participate in the distribution of mainly five major taxes in that's collected statewide: cigarette, liquor, gas, marijuana, and the 911 tax. And so in order for us to get our share of those funds, we have to go through a few hoops. One of those is that the Budget Committee has to hold a public hearing to discuss possible uses. You'll hear what the proposed possible uses are. In the past, that has been that those funds go into the general fund, or in the case of gas tax, it goes into its own dedicated street fund. The 911 tax also goes into its own dedicated fund. So we'll talk about that when we get to that hearing and what those are. But we also then give the public an opportunity to comment on those uses. So that's why it's a public hearing. The City Council will also have a second public hearing on the proposed uses that come out of the Budget Committee process. So those two public hearings are requirements that end up turning into a resolution, two resolutions basically, that we end up, the council adopts those two resolutions and we send those to the state and within the timeline, which is July 31st, and then we begin to participate in, and it's a decent source of revenue, so we definitely want to go through that process. After we have the state shared revenues, we'll continue on with the fund presentations, and that'll take the majority of that meeting, and then we will move on to our third meeting, wrap up any fund presentations that we haven't gotten to, and then go through committee deliberation. And that's, we anticipate that flow to be the best process, where we can get the information to you, deliver it in a smooth, concise format, and then the committee can, of course, ask questions at any point in time, but in order to kind of keep on schedule, we'll come back and then begin you guys can do the deliberations over the issues that you think are important to for you to become comfortable with approving the budget. So after deliberation and any changes that that are made, can you just hit the... After the committee deliberates on any issues, of course, the Budget Committee can make recommended changes to that, and then that process is tracked on the document as it goes through the process. So the document that you will receive next week will have a column of information that says proposed budget, and that's what the budget officer proposes to the committee. Once the Budget Committee approves the budget, any changes that are made are reflected in another column as it gets presented to the City Council. So it's tracked, and so you know the public can see that process. When it gets to the council, and if the council makes any changes, then there's another column additionally that says, this is our adopted budget. So by the time the adopted budget is presented to the public, all three of those columns reflect where the city went in their adoption process. So like I mentioned earlier, the committee approves the budget and sets the taxes, and then the Budget Committee's duties are complete. So we anticipate, you know, a 3 to 5 meeting process. And then from there, on June 5th, the council, like I said, holds the public hearing on the budget, holds the public hearing on the proposed uses of the state shared revenues, and then adopts the budget.
Is that it for the presentation?
No, I've got just a couple more slides here. Why do we do this? It is required by state law for all municipalities to do a budget. There are a few exceptions, but a city our size definitely has to do this. There is a public process where this is in the spirit of Oregon government, where transparency is valued. And so we go and do this process to look at our budget at the appropriate level of detail and get comments from our citizens. And, of course, it's fund. And because we do we have different funds. We have about 25 funds here in the city. Fund accounting is kind of a nice buzzword that we like, and it works well for a joke, maybe. So public meeting rules. The Budget Committee is subject to public meeting rules, and the reason I bring this up is because, you know, as we go through this process, these meetings will be about a week. There'll be about a week break in between each meeting. And so, you know, there's going to be opportunity for you to discuss with your neighbors, your friends, et cetera, about what's happening in the budget process. That is totally appropriate and welcomed and encouraged. Discussions among the committee members do need to take place, you know, in a public meeting. And so taking care to avoid committee deliberation among committee members that should be conducted at the public meeting. So as you're going through your review at home of the document and coming up with questions, et cetera, what we encourage you to do and recommend is that you email any questions and requests for information to the Budget Committee Chair. All of your emails are city emails, and so it'll be firstname.lastname@newburgoregon.gov. And so Miles, being the chair, he can receive your emails, and then he'll get those over to the staff, and we will then share that information, bring it back to the full meeting, and so that all of the information is shared to the full committee. So it gives us some time to prepare answers if we need, but then can bring that back to you.
If I may, Mr. Chair, those are going to go to the committee chair or the committee vice chair?
Chair.
So that would be...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Beth.
Thank you.
Until she's
Thank
aware.
You.
Yeah. You might just go home today and just send her a friendly email. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I will. That's
your Congratulations.
Oh, I will.
You're going to meet with the any new members to make sure they're set up on the city server?
They are all on there. I work with Brad, and he's been getting emails. And just to comment on the city emails, the reason we do that is we do this with all our committees, so we do that to protect your personal emails from the public disclosure process. Just that barrier keeps that line nice and strong. So what I do, though, is because not everybody remembers how to get into their email, if it's not on your phone, you have to go to your computer, et cetera, I will send an email to your personal email and say, hey, just send an email to your city address, go there, get the information, et cetera. So any questions on that? Okay. So there's a couple things that I think is worth kind of going through the terminology, if you will, about budget. And budget resources is a term that means essentially revenue, but it's not just new revenue. There's the top bullet point is the carryover or the beginning fund balance. So it's not really new revenue. It's revenue from a prior year. But when it comes to the budget process, it's considered a budget resource. Beginning fund balance is an important piece of that because generally the city, you know, in a fiscally prudent manner, doesn't spend all of its money. And so it always needs to have a certain amount of money on hand to cover the amount of time between the beginning of the fiscal year, July 1st, and when we start to receive the majority of our money, which is from property taxes in November. So beginning fund balance is a key budget resource. Property taxes, that is the largest piece of the general fund revenue that we get. And so that's a major category, and we encourage everybody to pay their property taxes. So those come in generally three streams, November, February, and May. And we continue to receive property taxes from prior years that we've levied. We generally get about $285,000 a year in prior year taxes, and it seems to be just kind of steady at that level. And so that comes from people not paying their taxes or delaying or going into foreclosure and finally catching up. So charges for services are things that where we actually charge, like, for example, user fees, like your water and sewer and storm charges. Franchise fees, the city charges major companies that have franchises to do business in the city, such as your Portland General Electric, your Northwest Natural Gas, Comcast. We charge them a fee to be in our right-of-way, to do business in our right-of-way, and so that's a major portion of our annual revenue as well. Grants is not necessarily a steady stream of income. It generally doesn't go for operations. It goes for special purposes, maybe a capital grant to buy a particular item. Could be an operating grant, maybe to fund a particular program. Those are generally, they vary every year, depending on the opportunity. So bond proceeds, if the city has issued bonds and is getting those proceeds, those are a separate category. We track those separately. Donations, we take any and all donations. We'll pass the hat here this afternoon. But those donations are just a small piece of our revenues, but they're definitely a separate process. You'll see donations sometimes for, like, the library. In fact, the library has its own donation grants and donations fund just for people that want to give to fund the library. Another other donations we get are for, like, police dogs, things that people are passionate about or they put into their will and say, hey, when I die, I want the city to have this X amount of money. That's where we put that's what we're looking at there. So interfund transfers in, that's when we transfer funds between, say, the general fund and, say, the transient lodging tax fund. That's an example. That would be where the transient lodging tax gets to fund a portion of city operations. And so you'll see transfers between funds. We'll describe that as we go through. And, of course, interest revenue. So budget requirements, these are categories that that are standard throughout all city governments. Personnel services represents the majority of our budget, and that's what we pay to our employees for their services here and delivering to the city. Materials and services are basically things like your office supplies, your professional services, your desks, your photocopier, all the things that are less than a certain dollar threshold generally, or, you know, things for smaller operating items. Capital outlay, in contrast, is for things that will have a life longer than a year. They generally turn into a capital asset. They're generally larger ticket items. So our police cars, our any vehicles, major equipment, some IT equipment, et cetera. Those are the things that are capital outlay. Debt service is the payments that we make on an annual basis for both principal and interest to fund our debt that we've issued. Transfers out, the opposite of transfers in that we just described. Operating contingency, and that is essentially an amount of money that the city can tap into throughout the year if necessary through a budget process, a supplemental budget process. It's basically amount on hand that we want to have in reserve with the potential to use it in that fiscal year. Reserve for future expenditure is generally, it's not used commonly, but it is a reserve for something that the city wants to set aside to be spent in a prior year. The city can tap into that. Say, for example, we're setting aside money for a multi-year project to build up money. That is where that would be designated. Then the unappropriated ending fund balance, and that is a category that is uniquely designated to hold funds that cannot be tapped into during the fiscal year period unless there is a natural disaster generally or an emergency. We put funds in there that we know that we absolutely want to have on hand by the end of the fiscal year. So we'll talk about that as we get into the numbers in a couple weeks. So this is just a highlight of where you can get more information. Again, I put that out in an email, but I will email you this presentation so that you can refer to it as you wish. And then I made sure that link at the bottom there is a active link. The city or the state occasionally changes their website, and my link from last year was no longer working. So, you'll also see on that page that the state does do annual training in February and March across the state, and they're really good trainings. They're They're both for budget committee members and budget practitioners. And so I've taken the budget committee chair in a prior city. We've gone and done that, and he's been really interested in that. So, but, of course, there's plenty of opportunity for you to read online at your own pace. So that's my presentation.
Great. Thank you. Are there any questions? There's no questions, then we move on to the next agenda item, which is the tour.
So we ended about the time I anticipated. As far as the tour goes, we will have a bus arrive here at 10 o'clock. We are going to, for those of you that are going, I have a map that will show all the destinations, and I anticipate us being back here probably about between 12:30 and 12:45. We have food as well for those that go on the tour and want to come back famished. If you want to come back for food at 12, we have plenty. Did not know how much to anticipate as far as who's going to come. So if you would rather not go on the tour, that's completely fine. We may have just a small tour. We do promise to bring you back, though, so there's no fear in that. But Jay Harris and Doug Rux are going to be our tour guides. We're going to hit the let me just kind of give you an overview of the locations. Public safety building. You may want to just stay at a minimum for a tour of this building here, which is where our police and court operate. You'll get a chance to see the holding cell, perhaps get out of the holding cell. Then from there, we're going to go to our public works maintenance yard, which has got some really neat things happening there. They've got a building remodel and some future opportunity for new facilities. Our water treatment plant, wastewater treatment plant, and the library. So, some of these places. If you can't stay today, you can always get a personalized tour from Jay. Jay does these tours for new employees, so that every employee knows kind of what's going on with the city. Some of these places you can go into, like the public library, and just walk in and get your own, kind of browse around. But these other places, like the public maintenance, public works yard, and stuff, are places that you'd want to coordinate. So. How many, I'm just kind of curious, how many people are planning on going on the tour? 1, 2, 3. Okay, so 3 or 4. Okay. And like I said, if you want to come back about 12:30, we'll have food here, and we have some Subway sandwiches and some chips and cookies. And
Subway person just standing out there looking confused.
So that's... That's the next thing on the agenda, and we'll move into tour.
Great. So there's no other official business to be called to adjourn then? And
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second. Great. Do I have any other responsibilities here? Meeting adjourned?
Actually, you're recessing for your tour.
Yes. Recessing for
tour? Yeah, right. We'll have you come back and adjourn at the end.
Great. Okay.